All aboard for Dometic. From first-time campers to hardcore outdoor adventurers and everything in between, no matter your experience level, Dometic.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's time for All Aboard for Dometic. Everything you need for adventures, big or small. Our special guest this morning is our Real Adventures regular, Gwayne Blake. Good morning, Gwayne.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Gwayne, the fishing has been, well, you're safe to say, red hot, and you've been doing your fair bit of work. You obviously run your guide service that, for those who don't know, you can contact Gwayne. I'll let him throw his number because I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not much of a creep, Gwayne. But you have your social media accounts, Gwayne Blake Professional Services, where he goes on your boat and takes you out and teaches you how to do the right things to catch yourself, well, whatever you want to catch, Pat. And he also owns Salt Guide with myself, so he's not too much of a stranger. We can be a little bit
rude, well,
Gwayne,
can't we?
What's your mobile number, Gwayne? Throw it out there so people can give you a call if they are after a guide.
0417 113021.
There you go.
So at the moment, Gwayne, we're seeing some great photos. You yourself have been responsible for a few, some incredible kingfish catches, some really nice gummy sharks. But for people that don't necessarily have the time to put out big hours on the water, what's the thing that's worth chasing above all else at the moment?
Well, so at the moment, Pat, we've actually just come off the back of the new moon cycle. So we've got some really strong tides in Western Port, which is really good for your whiting. The whiting fishing has been phenomenal for the last month. Doesn't matter who I've been going out with, we've been getting a bag of fish. So, you know, you go out with two people, we get 60. If we go out with three people, you know, plus myself, we're getting 80 fish. So there's lots of whiting in the port. A couple of other things the kids might enjoy is even just catching the bait fish that we use to go target the gummy sharks. So there's plenty of slimy mackerel and cow and young and yakkers as well in the port. But plenty to do. It's just about finding a bit of time to get out there and giving it a good crack.
So when you go out with people chasing whiting, what are some of the biggest mistakes people make or have these preconceived ideas about how you should fish for them?
Probably the biggest one I would say is guys still using monofilament line instead of braid. That'd be the biggest thing that would make me outfish them, you know, 20 to 1. A lot of guys are still struggling with their anchor systems. So that's something we're actually going to film this week for Salt Guide and try and get people to set up properly. You know, whiting fishing in Western Port, we're only fishing in 7 to 9 meters generally, and some of these guys are still struggling. The anchors are dragging. The chains aren't long enough or the anchor's too small. That's a really important thing. And then probably the most critical one is burling, getting a good burly going as well.
So but also, Gwayne, just elaborate on the burly a bit more, because I do it a bit, but I want to hear you say it, because I do it on the show. People are sick of my voice.
I'm glad you cut him off then. Thanks.
No, I want to know. I want him to go about the importance of having the burly in the right spot. Not about having and the right style of burly cage.
Yeah, so we use a heavy steel mesh burly cage. I actually add you can buy these little lead discs, and I add two lead discs to that as well that go inside the burly cage to get the right weight. I'm only using 4 mil of rope so that the actual rope doesn't drag in the tide, because then if you've got a thicker rope, it'll actually catch to the current and pull the burly bucket off the bottom. It needs to be hard down on the bottom, but not laying down. I like it so it's just bouncing up and down on the bottom. So if you're fishing a run-in tide, you can actually have to let a little bit of line out every half an hour, because the tide, we've got 3 meters of tide, will actually end up being off the bottom again. You need to check it every sort of 15 to 20 minutes, because all the pieces of burley get clogged to the outside of the cage and it stops working. So that's another thing. And the most smartest thing you can do is I have them on a fishing handrail, and I put the handrail, once I've tied the burly cage off, I put the handrail back on the seat so you don't drive off on it when you go to leave.
I've lost a few like that, actually.
Yeah, you either tie them to your steering wheel or put the handrail on the seat.
I fish with a mate during the week, and he goes to me, my top of the lid has been coming off a little bit, and he goes to me, "Hey, your lid's been coming off your burly cage a bit lately, hasn't it?" I said, "Yeah," as he opened it over the side of the boat and just dropped it in the water, the lid. I wasn't. That was one of those common sense things that we were talking about earlier in the show.
This isn't all about you.
Sorry, keep going,
Gwain. This segment is about Gwain. Now, Gwain, from one extreme to the other, so small but beautiful tasting to extremely hard fighting and still beautiful tasting, Kingfish, Portsea, you fished there the other day. It's not just right for the polo, but you've caught some really nice spanking kingfish.
Yeah, we've been really lucky that the weather started to settle down now. It's unfortunate for the guys that they're all going back to work, but it's typical of January. You get midway through January and the weather starts to settle back down and we're going to have beautiful January, February and March. Kingfish have come on and there's that many different schools of kingfish now you need to target. And so I was fishing down the back of sort of Point Lonsdale to Ocean Grove in that sort of 10 to 15 metre line. I reckon probably about every 100 metres I'd sound up four or five fish. So it's just about working that line, live baits, spending a bit of time on it. And unfortunately, great for tackle shots, but unfortunately for most people, when you go kingy fishing, you've literally got to take everything and throw everything at them. One day they're going to take jigs or plastics. The next day they're going to take live slimies or live squid and, you know, stick bait. So the tackle shop's dream, but not too much for the wives because we spend way too much money on gear for kingfish.
So when you when you are setting up for that, do you have them all set up in rodder holders so when you do come across a school or whatever it might be, you can change from one to the other if you're not getting any takes or no follows from a school you're casting at?
Yeah, so if you look at my boat when I go out kingfishing, I look like an American bass fisherman. I've got one pole for every sort of fish. So, yeah, I've got a stick bait rod that's a longer, more supple casting rod. I have a shorter, lighter rod with soft plastics, and then I'll have a jig rod ready set up with jigs. Because if you're drifting the rip, for instance, and you've got liveys down, you need to jig next to your liveys in the first place because that creates action and brings the fish over to look at your live bait. But also when you hook up on the live bait and your mate's biting it, quite often a few other fish come around and you'll hook them on the jig as well. So the more you've got going in the water, the better with kingfish. They're very inquisitive. They're a lot like cats. They come in, have a look and a play, and then they'll get bored pretty quickly too. So you've got to keep throwing things at them and keep them going.
Gwain, just before we do wrap up, one thing that you actually landed a beautiful bronzy a few weeks back, but one thing that you've noticed this year onto other years is, they usually get a lot of them, but there's even more bronzy activity in Western Port Bay this year. Setting your plan out just quickly to go target one of them in the bay, what would you be doing?
So I would be going into one of the more shallower channels or bays. So, for instance, the one I targeted the other week and caught, we fished up over in Coronella side in Tembe Bay. It's a bay that's generally around 6 metres deep. I went in there. I used two baits. So you fish the bottom and the surface. And I had two burly logs in the water. So one at the surface of the boat and one down at the bottom. The only difference is with your burly case, you need to put a wire trace on it because a big bronzy will eat your burly case. So you put a wire trace on that. Bottom bait was you either use stingray or eel because you want something that the rays won't take because you're using wire traces and the last thing you want to do is try and get a ray off a wire trace. So, rays don't like eel or they won't eat ray either. And then on the surface under a balloon, we had normally use either salmon or small striped tuna. And yeah, that many in the port at the moment. Like every time I go gummy fishing, we're hooking one or two. So there's a lot around. There was a good one caught on Sunday that went, I think it was 95 kilos. So there's plenty of action. If something you want to do, it's a bit different. You don't have to go offshore to catch a shark. There's plenty of sharks in the bay and you can easily target them.
Gwain Blake, who is, of course, our professional fisherman or professional
fishing guide,
will be joining us every couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us, Gwain.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
You too, mate. Cheers.